This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Body Count, the podcast where we believe history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes, and a proud member of the Big Heads Podcast Media Network. We're here to show you don't hate history, just hate the way it was taught to you. Only rule when we choose a topic, someone, or as is usually the case, a lot of someone's died. We give you the series of events in narrative fashion, and by the end, correlate said story with current events. Now, I'm not PBS, Ken Burns, or Dan Carlin. If you want a Hoover-esque Just the Facts, Ma'am history podcast, we are not going to be for you, i.e. there will be analysis opinions. This is not a lecture. My opinions are my own. Know that I hold my co-host verbally hostage. Direct your hate at me, folks, where it belongs. It said tragedy plus time equals comedy. No, we giggle at some occasionally rough subject matter. We are not actively trying to offend anyone. You've been warned. If you are okay with all of that, I am joined today, as always, by my lovely co-host,
Bethany Skelton.
And this is going to be an unusual one, guys. It's been a while since we've had a guest on. But we do have a guest on today. Mike, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, you did a good warning there at the beginning. I come with my own, I hadn't thought to tell people like, hey, you know, on our show, we have like a trigger warning because mostly all I talk about is like the horribleness of sexual assault and the perception of it by a cult.
Yeah.
So that's a big...
misogyny to eugenics.
I think I got to text some people and be like, hey, I forgot other people don't put that in post. Like, I come with my own warning. Hi, I'm Mike Valick, one of three co-creators, #cult.org and #cult podcast. I'm one of two co-hosts of #cult podcast, a podcast about investigating #cults, which is a word we define as groups that use hashtags to hide in plain sight on the internet.
I didn't even know. I was wondering what hashtag cults were. I was like, what is that?
So we'll get to that too, and we'll explain all of that. It's a word I made up, and now the internet is using it like crazy, which is really cool.
It's your trendsetter.
Look at me setting trends. I wear low-rise jeans. And we are investigating the group MGTOW, which is men going their own way, who believe that women are genetically designed to steal men's money and are creating a patriarchy and a matriarchy and conspiracy to control men, and currently have control over certain elements of political and fiscal systems. They are cults. That's not a belief system. That's the belief of the cult.
Wow.
And based on their choice of name, I assume they're big Fleetwood Mac fans. Or is that not so? You can go your own way.
Go your own way.
That's all I thought about when I first heard this. I was like, man.
Send me on my way. What's that song? Who does that?
Oh, I have no idea. Probably.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that song in forever. But no, back to the subject. I've listened to your podcast, and I, sir, am fascinated. First off, can I just say that it's not #cults, it's #cults. That took me a minute to figure out as well. And then, like you said, then I see it popping up all over the internet. I see you setting trends, defining things, which I thought was really, really interesting. So let's get into the meat and taters of it, if we will.
Yeah. So a #cult is slightly different. This is the only thing that distinguishes MGTOW and other groups we're identifying from a regular cult. I'll say that's really one of the only things that distinguishes them from as a new idea.
They don't have the Kool-Aid.
They would have the which was not Kool-Aid brand. I want to make that known to Kool-Aid. They didn't buy Kool-Aid brand.
You're getting me with your deep Jonestown knowledge there.
That's deeply affected by Jonestown. I watched a documentary about Jonestown way too young, and I was just fascinated by the idea that this happened. And so they have the Kool-Aid. They have all that stuff. They have all those different weird things. Suicide is, in fact, a very interesting issue with MGTOW that we will get to. Hopefully we'll get to today. I don't know. But hashtag cults is they they use a hashtag. We have a great way of saying it at the intro of the show, but they use a hashtag so that they can be a group without actually being a group. And it's a big way that they avoid being called a quote unquote cult, because they'll say, well, we're not a group. But then when they talk about it, they're like, well, we are MGTOW, MGTOW do this. And they're very clearly a group in the example of MGTOW, which is men going their own way. That's the group we're investigating. So a hashtag cult is just a way to hide on the internet. They don't know that they're doing it. It's an adaptation as a part of the cult. But in other words, you can just label this episode MGTOW, or label any video MGTOW, or label anything on the internet with the hashtag MGTOW, and MGTOWs will flock to it and talk about MGTOW on there. It's how they're so they're not in one central location. That's the adaptation to the internet that makes them hard to pin down. That's a hashtag cult.
That is really interesting. Honestly, that's an interesting way of going about it. Very, very crafty.
Well, it has really old school post-Weimar Republic Thule Society feels to it, which I want to talk to you a little bit.
I don't know if I know any of those words. But
we're going to get into it. And the ideas of Victor Klemper and a created language in a cult versus society deal. It's going to be fun. But I want you to talk about your stuff first, because I am blown away by all the work you guys have done. It really is just...
Thank you. I want to address what Bethany said about crafty. Very few people in cults, very few people in abusive relationships are crafty. It gives quite a bit of power to the idea of awareness, which is not always, sometimes it is there. Sometimes someone sets out to evilly do things. And there are instances where they set out to do certain things evilly and they have awareness. But are they crafty? No, the word we like to use is adaptation and evolution, not planning, not reaction. They don't, so essentially the way this group starts is there is pickup artists. Pickup artists were these people that would say, you don't get the science of chicks, and I'll teach you how to get chicks. And they really did have cult of personalities. They were the single leader model cult, and it was very easy to draw cultic things from them and the things that they were doing. That's not what we're investigating. That sparks what's going to happen next. And what happens next is those pickup artists don't work. So what they injected into the world was a science that cannot be proven and that many men are going to fall short of because it's not real. So the pickup artist says to the world, I can teach you how to pick up women. And then and it's a fact, it's scientific. So you can pick up women this way. Alas, you don't pick up women, right? So
right.
Now there's this culture of being against pickup artists, and already in the pickup artist culture, and this isn't like so linear, like evolution. This isn't all just one thing happening in this timeline. It's lots of events at once. And so in that comes this spark of red pill, this idea that through the analogy of the Matrix, you will get the truth about women and you'll see red pill. So now you have this anti-pickup artist sentiment, this idea of science and women and the pickup artist science of how their brains think, and that it's genetic, it's intuitive, the way that they will react and how to get them, quote unquote, which is gross. And then you have incel, which blooms at some point in this hostile yogurt. And incels say, the science of pickup artists is real. The science of red pill, the social ideas of red pill are real. Therefore, the system is working against me to let me have sex.
Oh, okay.
That's what incels are. The idea that they are just angry dudes is not always the case. And so right. in that is these people affected by the science, quote unquote, of women, the social sciences, quote unquote, of women. None of this, by the way, includes lesbians or gay people, just or bi people. By the way, as soon as you bring any of that up to them, they're like, it's like vinegar in the baking soda volcano. It's just like you like it literally melts. It's just nonsense. So I'll say that right away, just to add some into this original societal analysis. It doesn't work, because if women are this way, then surely there should be all these things happening in another weird way in lesbian relationships. Surely every homosexual relationship between men should be perfect. So it doesn't work.
And it doesn't exist to them. But I love in the interviews when you just immediately, anytime you bring up statistics and or science in a real sense, just how quickly it shuts down and turns into an ideological argument without any quotability, any statistics, or if they are there, they pick and choose what they're going to take. And it's a very, you can see the cult mentality blossoming out of the picking and choosing of information.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, and the idea that it's picking and choosing is interesting, right? This one of the things that came out of it from pickup artists is this idea of the 80-20 rule, which is a real phenomena in companies. It's a real, mm-hmm. it's a real phenomena.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah. Essentially, the people at the top do the most business. You know, when I worked as a delivery boy, I did not bring in the most money. I was not the most important asset of the company. Okay. So it is a fact that the owner of the company brings in the most money. The second in command brings in a lot of money. These are people make it with the ability to make decisions in big money terms. But they'll apply it to, it has to be the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% of women are going after 20% of the best men, which you go, okay, that would make sense, like with wolves that have very specific like criteria for who they breed with. But that also doesn't happen in like pigs and things like that. But also,
it's a very large misappropriation on the whole of like the idea of social Darwinism without ever having cracked a book. Not even that.
Well, yeah, they're getting it from other YouTubers. So like you take that stat, right? That they believe that 80% of women are going after 20% of the best men, to which you would say to them to melt their brains in terms of just let's debunk the science of it right away, because that's not really what's going on here, is they don't believe the science really. But just to debunk the science for a second, what is the best man?
Yeah, what is that term? How do you classify that term as the best man?
They would classify it as not them. And so that's how you understand that it has nothing to do with believing the science. What we found out through investigating this is now schism groups have broken off into what we call red pill cults, which are all hashtag cults. They use the hashtag red pill and go and search on anything that you're on and search red pill, search MGTOW. You'll find stuff. Anything, guys. So what broke off from it was the group MGTOW, which we're investigating now. That's one of the schism red pill cults.
I think it's probably the most organized based on my cursory glances that I've given the old internets. That's really a website outside of a 4chan, you know, really bizarre portions of the internet.
It's one of the most organized because they've slipped into coded language. And to be honest, it's likely that with our investigation, the group MGTOW will dissolve itself in seeing the, you know, MGTOWs, despite the fact that many people came from incel forums and red pill forums to them, to their forums, to their website, to their way of thinking, they have taken a coded language to then become organized in a way that they are claiming they're not organized. Once that hashtag becomes vilified as being coercive and things like that, I'm sure there will be an adaptation, as all cults do. The problem with hashtag cults is we're in a new era where adaptation is sometimes works. A lot of times in the past with cults and just coercive groups in general, they have to be organized in a very real way, in a very real area. And so by disrupting some of the things they do, the cults will break up. Sometimes, not all the times. A lot of cults, the leaders go off and keep themselves with them. And that always happens. There's always someone still being abused, right?
Right.
So here's what we discovered is what happens is the hashtag is nebulous. Red pill, MGTOW, incel, all these things are nebulous. But what it does is brush you up against, it uses the cultic sort of funnel to brush you up against people that will coerce you into their way of thinking, that will bring you around to their way, that want to coerce you. Why do they want to coerce you? Because they need confirmation for their worldview. They're coming from a place of feeling either mentally ill or abused by someone in their life, maybe abused by a parent or a relationship they were in, maybe divorced. Maybe they had a messy divorce that was, you know, abusive in some way, or maybe they just had a divorce and they never processed it and they abused themselves. And so they've adopted this thing of you're abused, you're feeling down, you're feeling shitty about the way, oh, am I left? Oh, that's a curse.
Oh, no. I say horrible things on here every week. Go crazy.
I always forget. I always start to do it. And I'm like, I always try to not do it. Okay. So they're feeling fucky. Now that I know I'm allowed to curse, they're feeling fucky about a divorce and they never dealt with it. They never processed it. They Google something, boom, they get into red pill cults in some way. Maybe that's finding a pickup artist.
Maybe. Is it kind of like the same thing when you, I've heard about a thing where you type in a celebrity's names and they sometimes it'll, if you click on certain things, it'll take you to a hashtag cult kind of, and like it's under different celebrity names. And sometimes if you don't realize what you're doing,
Yeah. So that's an interesting one. That's like manipulating the internet, right, to get someone there, that someone will write something about a celebrity to kind of trick you. That's like a blatant manipulation.
Okay.
This is more a manipulation by adaptation in the idea that they are – and that's a great – I'm going to have to investigate that. If you find something, send it to me. Like, but they are simply writing about words that already exist, you know, the social sciences, women, dating, and things like that. And you're searching that stuff, but the people writing about it, the majority of the time, and the people with the highest power on the internet are MGTOW.
What it draws off of for me, and I will hopefully have time to get into it, because I definitely see where you're talking about depression and the ideology that comes from mental health issues. But I also look at it, and it, you know, my perspective is different. It's historical, or it's to do with current events. It's to do with I have a really interesting paper I want to talk about a little bit that was released this year. But when you talk about coded language, it very much makes me think of Viktor Klemper and his most famous work in The Language of the Third Reich, in the way that the National Socialist Party changed words to mean something specific to an underlying movement. And it's so interesting to me that you see that repetition right here.
Rick Ross famously has said that two things. Rick Ross is the I'm sure I don't have to explain to your listeners
no.
who Rick Ross is, but he's a cult investigator, was working on Waco before Waco happened. You know, I don't know if people know that he got someone out of the cult, the Branch Davidians, before the blow up. He was able to deprogram someone, which is pretty remarkable that he was there before that happened. He has famously said that he believes currently North Korea is a cult, and he believes that the Nazi empire was a cult. They said Heil Hitler, not Heil Germany, is what he has said. Now, on top of that, though, what I think is really important before we hear about this thing is to understand that cults, as we made this video, can be anywhere. And it is a form of manipulation. And I have called, in terms of the Third Reich and understanding, you know, conspiracy and propaganda versus what they are doing, sort of, if to understand hashtag cults is how they operate, the easiest way to understand it is it's like a secret handshake. If you use the word MGTOW anywhere, then you can operate in secrecy. I want to hear about this thing, though.
Oh, what I find most interesting as I've listened to this is it just has so many echoes to me of the Thule Society, which was formed in 1918 following the end of the war and the formation of the Weimar Republic. And in a way, it's sort of the same thing that a group of people that think that they should dominate a society is essentially displaced by what they identify as ideas contrary to what the status quo used to be. And I see that pretty heavily reflected in the things that you've talked about. And ultimately, the Thule Society gives birth to the Nazi Party. I mean, the ultimate roles and what seemed like something so ridiculous, which was literally founded in a pop culture idea. Virgil, when he speaks about, you know, the Great White North, thus Thule, in talking about a place that is beyond the definition of the known world, the idea of the Aryan race came from a pop culture idea. Mm-hmm. And I sort of feel the same echoes in this. And there was a paper that came out this year, actually, by Hoffman Ware and Shapiro that is really, really interesting in Studies of Conflict and Terrorism, Assessing the Threat of Incel Violence. And looking at this group as, yes, a cult, but a cult in a more dangerous, far-reaching way than there's no insular religion. It's not about that. It is about an ideology that is, while not political itself, has political implications. So it's really, really interesting. I send you this paper. I got it off of JSTOR today, and it's something I'm really interested in.
I want to clarify for everyone, though it comes from incel, they are distinctly different in terms of participation and in terms of indoctrination. MGTOW is also inspired a little bit by MRA. There are some mm-hmm. political ideals, and the more indoctrinated you get, the more all of these things mixed together. I also want to say, incel and MGTOW are not the same in terms of, it's really important that we don't just say Christian cults. We don't, because Waco, the Branch Davidians, and whatchamacallit, Jonestown, those are two mm-hmm. Christian cults. So I caution people that though we use red pill cults to talk about incel, MGTOW, pickup artists, MRA, a lot of these other things on the internet, their association to politics, their association to their ideals has nothing to do with the path of indoctrination. It's a realm that groups everyone together. So to say incel is kind of taking away power from MGTOW. We're having a problem getting publicity towards the word MGTOW. And it's one of the ways that these hashtag operates. They know that you'll react to incel. You're not reacting to MGTOW. And so by I know it's hard for all of us to be like, I don't know a new word, but start saying MGTOW instead of incel because they're different. They'll distinguish themselves and say, we're not incel, even though they're mostly in the same sort of thing. They know that's the hashtag cult element of it. They know that if
it won't be MGTOW anymore either.
What's scary is it's the way that the Nazi Party began to ideologically differentiate itself from the Thule Society. I mean, there are echoes. What we do here is rhyming in history. So that's interesting. Like the mixed motives that are ideological influences.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're fine.
The thing that I would add to that is it's great to look at cults throughout history, which is awesome. Cults have been around throughout history, and we've only really recently, from my journalistic, not scientific standpoint, it's only a really recent thing that they started to analyze them in a very cohesive way. But it's not a historical idea that a politician is using, right? What it is all cults operate this way. All cults, what they do is they say, they have boogeymen is the word that we're using. We're not them. We're out there. And what it does is insulate a cult. We are not them. You can only get it from us. We are the ones that have the truth. And that's the thing that a cult uses over time. And anyone who wants to manipulate people will do this. An abuser will do this. They'll say, don't talk to your family. They just make you miserable. Stay here. Stay here with me. They don't get you. Oh, your friends, they're always saying stuff about us. They don't understand our love. They think that they don't get, stay away from them. A coercive group, someone in a multi-level marketing. Oh, geez, all these other businesses, they don't give you the power to earn money. How long were you at that job and you didn't get anything? Stay here with us. You know, we'll keep you in. We'll keep you safe. We'll get, let you make your own money. You know, you're empowered. And don't you want other people to join us? That's when it flips. Don't you want people to have this opportunity? You need to bring other people in. Can you imagine? Oh, your friends, aren't they struggling with life? Bring them in to our thing. Bring them into our cause. And so now you have a hatred of outsiders. No matter what it is, whether it's other groups even similar to you. And that goes to the narcissistic string of this whole thing. And I'll say MGTOW have a person that was close to becoming a terrorist. He was the press covered it as a terrorist thing. They did not cover, they mentioned MGTOW. They didn't cover it as much. He was not charged for being a terrorist. But he was close. He was on that edge, I think is fair to say. It was part of the discussion. But Chris Hassan, who was visiting so many MGTOW websites that they had a separate section for just his MGTOW visits. They are violent. But that's the whole thing. If you can say it in one sentence, which we often do, which is terrifying, is MGTOW is a group on the internet hiding from you because they know you don't like incels who do believe that women are genetically inferior to men and that they need to be removed from society. Well, they might be genetically superior. They're genetically designed to manipulate men, take advantage of them, steal their money, and they're setting up society in a way that is getting rid of their ability to function and to steal their money, their sperm, and eventually what they would like is to breed women out of the system so that they can have artificial wombs and men can be happier and they don't have sex and they don't masturbate, and to do so is to deprive you, and there's lots of genetic and weird fake science reasons to do so, and none of that's real. They're all scapegoating emotions and problems they have in life and are being manipulated by each other, and they're a cult. That's just one sentence.
Oh my god. They figured out our secret. We're just out for their money. Damn it.
One of us. Yeah. No, it's that is the most succinct summation that I could possibly throw down. And I think that it's great. I mean, you got to the heart of it, and it's so interesting. Because I think that's right. And I think it's really interesting that they do separate themselves, which is amazing, like all of it and how it develops. Like, I don't know, eventually one of these days my concern watching this is somebody like incredibly clever is going to sneak into this hierarchy that's going to push it and sort of evolve it a little bit further. So it's interesting to me that they separate themselves from the idea of incels because they're smart enough to hide in plain sight, knowing that we already have a negative connotation to that word in and of itself. So that's smart really interesting.
Smart enough is interesting in one way, and because you have to talk to psychologists about it, but it's something that I want to bring up is that when you talk about these groups on the internet, they go, oh, they're just misogynists. They just want to yell at stuff. Well, why are they yelling about this in this specific way then?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they doing in this? If they're just misogynists and they just believe this stuff, why use this group? Why associate yourself with this group? And the idea of smart enough is really what I'm attaching to in terms of they're just reactive. And the internet and the manipulators on the internet and the grouping of certain leaders and the way to distinguish themselves from other leaders and the ability to see, this is a popular group, I'll insert myself. It is a little bit of a smart enough. It is to say, if I tell someone I'm an incel in my life, they or I already know about incel, right? Before I join MGTOW, I know about incel. So it's a clever way that the group has adapted, like in a more reactive way. The group has reacted and said, we're not incel. And that's I like to look at almost everything on an evolutionary adaptation basis. So maybe I have a bias in this, but it's not that it's, you know, when the hummingbird develops a long beak, it's not going, boy, I need a longer beak. The ones with smaller beaks die, right?
Yeah.
So what it is incel, you know it already because we talk about incels. So then when you hear about this other group, you go, oh, they're not incels. Oh, I can join this group. I know incels are bad, but that's not this group. Because they've adapted and the people that they would groom, they know that
that's
they
scary.
Will react to it.
That's freaking scary. Because sometimes, like, that sounds like something, like, where you join something not knowing, thinking, like, oh, no, this is good, we're good, this is fine. Because it's not the bad thing. It's not the bad thing that we know of. And then before we know it, we're actually part of it. It's just kind of, that's kind of scary.
It's very scary, and it's how abusers operate in the world. Abusers are very good at, as if to say, they have no success at, is the better way to say it when you talk about evolution. They have no success at telling you, hey, just, I like really want a slave. And so I'd like you to come to my house.
I mean, why can't they
come be a slave and that's fine, right? They know, they over time know, oh no, no one will be my slave. They learn that from society. They're not doing it necessarily incredibly conniving the way that we think. They go, I don't like how anyone defies me. I don't like how anyone defies me. How can I get someone to just be subservient? And so they remember the hits. They remember, oh, if I say this, they'll join. If I say this, they don't join. And one of the things that I've learned about abusers and hashtag cults and all those things is, and cults in general,
yeah,
they don't put on Front Street the misses. They don't put on Front Street that you don't know how many times an abuser has tried to coerce someone before they finally coerce someone. They're adapting their skill over time.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe they'll hit on the first try and then they'll grow and have success. And the ones that are really good are able to adapt quicker, are able to see other coercive models, might have been around other coercive models. And so, yeah, you say that that's a scary thing that happens in life. It happens with everyone. It happens with everyone.
Yeah, I honestly, just some of the things you've said in the way of things, I'm like, well, shit, I know for a fact I think I've been pulled into a few cults here and there. Like, not like bad, you know, like not Waco or, you know, Jonestown kind of thing. But like, it's definitely makes you question people in general. I feel like my eyes have just been kind of opened.
No, don't say that, because then I'm going to become a guru. Okay, give me $600, and then we can go to the moon, okay?
Okay, awesome. I'll get my jetpack.
We just released this animation, which explains this. And the thing is that one of the defenses people will go, well, is this a cult? Well, is this a cult? And what every cult expert has said to me is, like, if someone's trying to manipulate you, cult or not, like, you should be aware of it.
Like, yeah.
You should be tuned into it. And so, cult or not, the idea that these ideas, one of the ways that I think by being fun about this, by talking about the places you've messed up, and by talking about that I'm going to be angry, I'm not perfect, I'm not going to not try and, you know, get people to watch my videos or get someone to hire me or get someone to join my company. Everyone does these things that are, you know, whatever. And so if you're really dark about it, the latest episode we did was about why we're not dark and the realness of it. But if you're dark about it, it makes it this thing that seems like it happens and then it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's one day you're a murderer and then one day you're not. The day before you didn't murder someone and then you murder someone. That's fun.
How many times I call you, Jessica? Please bail me out.
Please bail me out. Help me. They're monsters. Yes. No, I think that's like really, really interesting. And getting into that, that's what I like about it, because I can sit here and I can read studies in conflict and terrorism. That's my happy place. But the fact that you guys have identified it as cult behavior is what I think makes your insight really, really unique, if you will, that it isn't, you know, because I'm sitting here reading about multinational research teams picking up from the move from pickup artists to men's rights activists, now men going their own way, and then the involuntary incels. The fact that things like pickup artists or incels and men going their own way are thriving because, you know, they do. It talks very much about how they do hide in plain sight, but nobody ever takes that next step and says, oh, because it has very similar cult-like behaviors. And that is what I think is super unique about the way you guys are approaching this. And I really appreciate, like, you guys definitely did the work. And I think it's such a unique view on it. Because when I read about these things, I read them in the most academic, dry way possible, right? I'm going to assess them through an historical view. But the fact that you guys have mixed in the cult mentality, and it's also a really interesting exploration of mental health and depression and the want for belonging. I think it's a really unique approach, and why I want everybody to listen to this podcast, because it humanizes what we don't want to humanize. And maybe that's, you know, the cure. So I think it's really, really interesting.
And to give credence to what you're saying about historical things, you have to look at the historical context of cults and how we have biases towards them. So many people will come when we say it's a cult, and they'll say, well, it doesn't have a guru, it doesn't have a religion. One of the things I'm really passionate about in my life was the Psychonauts, and they were this group in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So from learning about the Psychonauts, I wanted to learn about the era. And one of the things that I think really gets forgotten is that hippies originally had a different name. They were called Jesus freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Free love is a Jesus term. And you have to realize that what any manipulator will do in terms of to give credence to these historical things that you're talking about, but why I don't think they are the narrative happening, is manipulators, cults, coercive people are great at having their finger on the pulse. That's how you get more followers. So a thing that is connecting with more people, let me grab that Jesus. Like there's a big fervor for free sex and free love and being kind to each other and loving one another and following a Jesus-like master. That's what's in right now. Let's turn America, the Christian country, into and as a Jew, this is all horrifying.
Yeah. Well.
but let's turn this Christian country. There's all these people. We're uniting. It's post-war. We're here. Let's turn this Christian country into I can do it. I can take the models of Jesus, and I can get you to follow me and live on my ranch and kill Sharon Tate. So the idea that they aren't aware of themselves, they aren't aware of what's going on, in order to say, oh, I want this person to believe in me. What are they like? Oh, they like Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus from now on. Oh, you have friends that like Jesus. I'm going to continue to talk about Jesus. It's the idea that they aren't in tune with this is great, but the idea that they're also not using your bias to want to make our world a better political place, to want to solve political issues, they're able to just say, okay, you just listened to my indoctrination.
Yeah.
By you deciding it's political, you just listened to me. Where if you had sort of recognized the cult signs, you would have been like, this is weird.
Red flag. Red flag. Warning. Right. Back out now.
I don't want to. I don't want to, Hare Krishnas. Like,
no, Moonies, no.
That was a thing, right? Think about Hare Krishnas. The Hare Krishnas were a thing that were all around the world that would go around and hand people pamphlets. And when they were around, and, you know, I lived in an area where they were as well, it would be interesting because I listened to old comedy, right? And Hare Krishna jokes became a thing. And I think humor and documentation could be a way to make this known and to let people be aware of manipulation. But Hare Krishna jokes were the only, before I got into cults and understanding that stuff from an outsider perspective, before investigating it, I knew Hare Krishnas from, you know, Airplane, because there's Hare Krishna.
Right, yes.
And so that was ubiquitous. And then to see people in my generation who weren't around, younger people, to see them meet Hare Krishnas and be like, oh, this person handed me this nice thing and it was so wonderful and they were dancing and playing music. I was like, do you mean a Hare Krishna? The ideas and the things that we know. And so now we're wary of the guru model, right? We know, a guru might be a weird person. I don't know if I'm into this. Or you might be into it. and there might be a safe guru out there or whatever, but we are aware, like, that's kind of what a cult looks like. The more you allow them to use their adaptation of saying, you just think I'm a troll on the internet, you just think I'm, you know, someone talking about their politics and yelling about their politics, ah, then they get to operate. You allow them to operate.
You start a conversation, and then they can keep, and then you've got them talking now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Either way, I'm listening. And eventually, someone will hear it. The big thing we're passionate about is YouTube comments. You're giving them a forum. And whether or not you're affected, a lot of times the creator takes on a bias and doesn't take on a publishing responsibility. If you're not biased, you go, well, I'm not falling for any of this, but the comments help my videos. Someone watching it on the internet is. And now you become bigger in the search, and now it's there. And that's how a hashtag cult works. To go to the original point, it's not smart. Cult leaders are using dark and powerful things and are using all of their cunning. The people are smart.
They're tapping into their inner psychopathy, essentially.
And the people are smart. The people in it are smart. That smart people seem to fall for these things more. The people that are at the top are viciously smart, but they're putting, you know, for me, I'm not putting all my energy into getting you to follow me. They are. And that's where that evilness and the indoctrination starts to grow, and getting people to do that same trait and being manipulated in the cycle of abuse and things that other people have talked about better. The smartness of the group and the adaptation of tapping into that inner psychopathy is instinctual, based on their own struggles, as far as our narrative is. It's just incels. Mm-hmm. No one listens to incels. Don't call ourselves incels. Oh, everyone likes politics. Men's rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that I would warn everyone about too is then they go, okay, so every time, you know, there's this for conscientious people like us, Bethany, who's like, I've been in a thing. Definitely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're not conscientious, which is okay to be not conscientious as well. But this gives them power. You go, well, so everything that ever says, you know, I like this thing, or, you know, oh, well, now that's me being indoctrinating, and that's me trying to manipulate people. No, yeah. First of all, but it's another adaptation. That's normalized, right? You
right.
Say that. And so then that adaptation grows. It's normalized to be like, that's not a thing. And it's a way that they scapegoat. It's a way that they push away from actually having to confront it. You should be wary of anyone that wants you to do anything. Just ever.
Wow.
Yeah, analyze it. It's not a bad step to take to be like, is this the right thing to do? That's like what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do want you to question everything. Because then
you might find yourself in a cult.
That's how you get closer to it. That's how you get closer to it. That's the way you get closer to it, is you don't analyze and step back and be like, why is this happening to me? And I see it all the time. I ask people, you know, I'll ask you guys this too. There's people that are raging in your comment section for no reason, not in yours specifically, but there's people on Facebook, and you write something about something and they just go on and on. And you're like, I wouldn't talk to you.
How did you get access to my email account for this podcast?
I'm a hacker. This is all fake. Please send me
as women who would dare to educate men. God.
History, nonetheless. How dare we?
How dare I?
And it's this thing where it's like each individual part as to how this happened is out there in the world, and all of them lead to something else. So as individual characteristics, they might be mild to bad. But if you don't start pointing out those as well, like, it isn't an all or nothing thing. Well, now I'm in a cult, but you might be having someone in your comments who's like, just angry about something and thinks it's okay to comment. Like, the way people comment on stuff, just when they're not even in these things, and they're definitely having this triggered emotion to write and write and write and write and write and write and write. You know, I don't know why it's not recognized as being a problem. I want to start a comment awareness day. That's like a thing I want to do, and I'm thinking of doing, is like, just comment awareness day. You know, how are you showing other people your comments on the internet? Are you stopping and thinking, why am I typing this?
Right. Why am I doing this? Why am I being so nihilistic and extreme in my ideologies? No one knows. Least of all me. Positive? Exactly.
Why are you being positive? Honestly, think, stop and think about why you comment. Is there something else going on in your life where you have to be like, oh, this was such a great episode. I love this part where, and I, this is the best part of my day and all these different things. And I love you. Now I do that because I'm forced to help creators like you guys so that, so that we get more publicity. But
yes,
there's people out there who are like, they comment these things and it's like, what's going on in you? Like, why do you feel the need to say that? And to a certain level, it's like, oh, I'm just a fan. And sometimes it is. But if you're not keeping track of your behavior in general, then it's going to go bad. And why I want to do Comment Awareness Day is like, why is no one saying, hey, if I wasn't taking care of myself in conversation in real life, which I mean to be offline, I would be, if I, every time I talk to my parents, I'm yelling and I didn't address it, I would be weird. If every time you're going on the internet and never thinking about why you comment,
yeah,
there's bound to be issues. I'd say a great social experiment to make the scariness better, if I could ask you guys if how, what you think about this, is we have two URLs. Hashtagcult.org and MGTOWisacult.com. Both will send you to the same place. Now, what I'm doing today is I'm pitching a social media sort of influencer, a person who has an interesting persona on the internet that's sort of in between. It's too much to get it, to get into now. But what I'm trying to do is find people to document, if you want to be a part of exposing this in a nice way, because it is love that's going to solve people being in these relationships.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In a nice way, if you feel as though you're a nice person who can say, everyone be nice to these people, we're trying to help, but you also want to see who's involved in this and how widespread this is, put MGTOWisacult.com in your social media feed. Type it out. Type it out as an image. Put it on a picture. Send the link. And obviously, this helps promote the issue. But what we really want people to do is document the comments you get. Send that to us and email that to us, because you're going to be shocked to see who's sympathetic. Be shocked to see who's a member. You're going to be shocked to see the people who say, I don't know. I've seen some of this stuff. You're also going to be shocked to see the people who are like, yeah, I had a brush in with them. Yeah, I was sort of in this red pill thing and it was so tough for me and it's still tough. And I think that that's a really powerful thing to show how hashtag cults hide in plain sight, which is to say this Wikipedia knowledge of like, no, here's what they believe. It's not how they operate. And we're trying to do, if you don't feel safe, I'm making sure to point this out. If you don't feel safe as like you've been a victim of abuse, or you feel as though you might get triggered, or you've had a brush in with stuff and you feel as though you might feel unsafe, whatever it is in your mind, which is okay to feel unsafe in your mind, not with these people. Don't do it. But if you're secure, if you can hear what these people are saying and listen to them and treat them with love and all these different things, and trust me, the URL will hopefully be the place that they go and they'll get better knowledge of what's going on. It will really expose what's going on. I don't know why MGTOW is not as known as incel. I don't know why. The incel forums are becoming smaller and the MGTOW forums are becoming bigger. It's odd that the internet is.
Maybe the internet, but security analysts in multiple countries, especially as it spreads to Europe, are very, very aware of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's good.
Always ahead of us.
Yeah.
since the real wake up of Elliot Rodger, not that these people associate themselves or even in the same hemisphere. That's not what I'm saying, but it very much is on the radar of analysis groups to do with, you know, overall security. But that doesn't necessarily mean that in any way it's helping people get the help they need, which again, like I said, I can sit here and throw facts all day long, or I can look at the analysis, but that is what is unique about you guys, is that you are fundamentally at a basic level attempting to reform this thought, to know or to let people know, yes, you don't have to be a part of this cult. You don't have to be a part of this ideology. And I think that's what separates you guys as you get into the more investigative aspects and the ideology when you look into these. And I think it's incredible. I think the work you're doing is absolutely amazing. That's why I was like, okay, I'm going to stop the presses. I've done my deep diving here. I've listened to this. We've got to have them on.
Let's, I know I've talked for a while now, like, but do you guys have any questions about what we've found? I mean, is like, I want to make this more of a back and forth. So, cause we've done our little stump speech and like talk to people about it and shown why it works in body count and shows how it's, you know, related to, you know, suicide is the big thing they think they're going to cure. But what else, what else do you guys have anything else?
Like, I mean, honestly, when you were talking in the very beginning about that man, woman hating, or, you know, trying to take, I don't know, pick up women. The whole situation just reminded me really much of like a Family Guy episode where Brian is trying to pick up women and he takes Quagmire's class and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And he does his own thing. And it just reminded me, I guess, of that, but not completely, but in a way. So it just made me chuckle there. But honestly, I'm woke. I've been woke, and again, like, I'm not saying that I was part of an actual cult, but it just definitely abusers and past relationships and different situations where it's like, oh wow, and then you see what they're doing now and you're like, huh, I'm glad I got out of that. I have not listened to your podcast. I will be the honest person. I haven't.
Thank you. I like when people are honest. Thank you. And it's a show what not abusive behavior is. Don't just reward people for lying to you and to encourage lying to you. Thank you for being honest. It's okay to not please everyone around you.
Right. And honestly, I do want, after your discussion, I want to know more. And so I definitely want to listen and definitely going to make it part of my day. And that is honesty there, because I'm like, wait a minute, I need to know more. I need to understand what's going on, because I'm not saying I'm, you know, I am gullible. I am somebody that could get drawn in very easily. And I know that about myself. That's why I'm like, I do hesitate from time to time. And I'm like, is this a good idea? No, it's not. But so, yeah.
I'll say, in terms of the pickup artist in the episode with Brian, we haven't gone as much into, I remember that episode. We haven't gone as much into the pickup artist part of the history because we're really trying to not muddy the waters. Like, we're really trying to be like, this is the issue at hand. I will let you know, I've seen that episode. And I'm going to let you in on something. Are you aware that everything he says in those episodes are actual pickup artist techniques?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that, and what I didn't know on top of that is what I learned from this was that actually happened with the story they told, where one pickup artist and then another sprang off from him. Like, there was literally, this literally happened with this one guy and all this stuff. Like, it was just a retelling of it using Quagmire and Brian.
It was a really interesting, like, mid-aughts movement. The idea of, I don't know, it was really interesting. What I found, we're going to go back to your very first episodes, and you guys definitely touch on it as we go through and as our listeners go through and listen. What I found to be the most, like, ass backwards interesting part of this, and you guys highlight it, and you highlight it, and it's so interesting to me, talking about essentially stealing the ideas of feminism and making it into essentially molding it into something that's supposed to be a feminism for men, in essence, except for the way it's approached, what it preys upon, And the ideologies go into that. So I wanted to ask about that because I really think it's a very interesting analysis. And of course, you know me, I just like, got crazy jizzy over all of the ideology because I never thought about it in those terms. So I just like, congratulated myself on listening to something I thought was like, yeah, I'm so into this. I talk about that a little bit because I think that is the most interesting part of all of it.
Paulina, obviously one of the co-creators and co-hosts of the show, she's very into feminism. And that was part of the thing that we wanted to. And what I mean by very into feminism is, and that's a word that I don't necessarily want to go into what that means, but she's very into feminist authors. And so the question that we always ask when you see someone on the internet, I'm even going to change how I'm sitting to really get into this question. Because it's
yeah, get in it. Oh, feel it. gross, awful vibes.
So, the idea that someone says something like on the internet, whenever you see this, quote unquote, feminists think this. Why I would never say that is because I have read one feminist book, and it was a comic book by Alison Bennett. If you ask me the name, oh, are you building a cannon? What happened?
Jessica, Jesus.
Sorry, sorry, guys.
She's making a drink, I can tell.
Silence.
Bitch, you yourself.
I've got to have my vodka, sir. I never podcast without it.
I agree. So, when you say that word feminists, if you can't name which feminist said it, it might not be real. So what do groups that on the internet, like these people that use feminists as a boogeyman, what is the effect? The effect is they've seen something labeled as feminism. They knew that someone would give them attention if they reacted to it in a certain way. That's the scapegoating. This is an analogy that I have to run by a psychologist, but it's the one that works in my head. To me, scapegoating is like cutting on the internet. They can't feel something. They feel numb. They feel unheard. So they do something just so you talk to them, just so you address them, just so they're the important one. And so is feminist what they're really against? No, they know that they'll feel other. They know that they'll feel special by doing this, by reacting that way. So where are they getting the word feminist? That's how I believe it starts, reacting to things that they see that are feminist, wanting some amount of attention, and embellishing it to get more attention and feel okay. So because that's where this starts, they then adapt. They then keep going down that road. When you look at men's rights, when you look at MGTOW, when you look at red pill, when you look at incel, you can take every idea that feminist has and make it the opposite of what's happening, and that's their ideology. So women run society.
And
because that's literally the opposite. Men run society. So you start right at the top, and you can keep name any feminist idea as I've started to learn about feminism through this, and I go, oh, MGTOWs believe this thing in opposition. Women control how birth control is handled in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite.
Spaghetti-O, sir. That is not fact. Yeah.
So why do that? Well, one thing is, on the base level, there's a lot of us out there. I call them not people in cults who are concerned with the safety of women.
When
we hear people who say something like this, we react. And so, like that adaptation thing before, we're all reacting to it. And so they get the reaction from us, and it gets bigger, and then they get a bigger reaction.
And then people are talking about it more.
And I know that we have to... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
The people that created that divide is us. We gave them the power to be...
Damn it!
We reacted. We have continued to react. and tell them, yes, you're different and other. And to you, you think, I'm making them different and other. I'm doing a good job. I'm not a sexist. I don't hate women. But what you're doing is proving to them, see, they don't get it. We're righteous. They are stupid. They're part of society. Our fight is just because no one's listening to us. And that can be a good thing. But I think you need to start responding with love. Say, it's okay. I think that you're going through something. I hope you can get out of it. I'm here for you. You know, everything's okay.
That is, oh my God, you just hit to the very fucking core of my soul, sir. Because when I read that shit, what does Jessica do other than pull out her quill and start sharpening it, dipping my ink in, and I'm going to be like, you're going to learn today. But you're exactly right. It is nothing. And I think that's, again, like we'd have to run it by somebody that's qualified to give the assessment. But I do like the idea of almost like internet cutting, in that when we give them that response, there's almost this, It's like a dopamine and serotonin mix that you get, and almost this energy sucking sense, which is really, really, God, you hit to the core of me. You just like nailed it like Martin Luther, sir, because you just, I am the exact person who is the problem in feeding into this ideology.
Jessica,
let me get my quill and give you some facts, sir.
Jessica, now all you need to write back is like those lines from The Help, where you are special, you are loved, you are beautiful.
Yes, I is special, I is loved, I is beautiful. You is loved. You have to say it the right way. Yes, I honestly think there's no reason not to do that. I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah, and I know that you guys are dying to wrap up, and I try and give everybody, make it a two-part episode. Help them get the word out there. But I try and give everyone a ton of stuff to listen to. But yeah, everyone does it too, Jessica. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. The whole reason that we're striking at people's core is because we've all, everyone, including me, is like, damn it, I've done that.
Yeah, that's what I was like, damn. Damn it. That was me. And if anything, I've also been a person that's tried to start my own cult. Not really truly thinking about it, but like your group of friends, even you, not that you try to manipulate them in there, but sometimes you say the things that you need to say and then you don't really, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like kind of, it strikes a chord, and that's why probably people hate it, is because the uncomfortability, they're like, I would never. Well, yes, you have. Unfortunately, we all have.
Yeah, we all have. And I think, to put a cap on it, something that Hoyt Richards said in our interview was, you know, he thought that this was foreign to him. And he said, it's something we should be teaching in schools. It's something we run into every single day of our life. And one of the things we're trying to do in terms of educating people on it isn't making it distant, making it at home. Being like, you know, we know words now, like toxic person. Why do you know that? You don't know why. You know that because it became a common word to take care of your mental health. And now you see that pattern in your life. I'm hoping that we start to see coercion. I'm hoping that we start to see
Instead of execution.
Yeah. We'll start to see those signs earlier so people are happier.
Yeah.
You know, in their own way. And to do it in a more interesting way than it's done now is a big goal of mine. I hope everyone catches up, because I spoke really eloquently about it on the show, and I shouldn't be forced to do it twice.
I think you did an excellent job, sir. I think you brought the same, you know, form, and I thought it was beautiful, and I thought you did speak very eloquently. God, I love your co-host, by the way. Tell her I'm a big hashtag fangirl. Low-key. She's fantastic. It's a fantastic show. I definitely encourage people to go and listen. Check it out. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way that you approach things. And if I'm saying that from my ridiculous seat of just I don't know. I'm the person that I am, guys. But if I can put down my quill and ink to not be an ass and approach something in a different way, that I think it's so important what you guys are doing. And I'm a huge fan. So where do we find you guys and follow? And I kind of want to follow that up because I'm really interested in doing your little social experiment now and looking at comments.
So if you ever want to do that, go to MGTOWisacult.com, MGTOWisacult.com, or the word hashtag cult.org. We have a contact page there. Like, reach out to us, say that you've done it or you are doing it. If you want, we would prefer people like write us an email so we can be like, I'm literally developing it in like 2 hours for the first person that we're doing it with. So like, we'll have, by the time you email us, if you want to like take all the precautions and what you should do, like, we'll tell you like, be nice. Like, here's what they'll say. Here's what to be prepared for. We can give you kind of a rundown. MGTOWisacult.com, or you can just do it. You know what I mean? Just be your own person. If you want to just throw it out there and see what happens, but make sure to take screenshots and even if you're going to delete or block the person, which I encourage, don't be afraid to block people.
Block.
Doesn't matter. Move on with your life. Hashtag cult.org, or you can find all the info if you go on any podcatcher and type in hashtag as a word. So hashtag cult.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to say podcast. I think it just comes up.
Reach out, it does.
Reach out and hang out. I will come on. I will have, if anyone's had experience with it, which is the main thing we always say, if you know someone who's been through this, which is a big part of what we're doing, we're always focusing on the medium. I always think that's more interesting, like the half steps. We want to, if you were a victim of somebody who was in it, not necessarily someone who got sucked in, who was in Red Pill. If you knew someone in it, we want to hear from you. If you were in it, we want to hear from you. Reach out. And there's a chance that we'll want to include you. We probably will if you have something to say. And I think that we can sort of hedge and make cult education and cult knowledge a little bit more fun. Even though, because I'm not an expert either, Fat Bunny. I'm the dumbest guy in the room. That's what a journalist is supposed to be. The guy that is trying to figure everything out.
Oh, God bless you, sir.
Suck your soul and take your money. So
I want to hug your face. What a great commentary on oh, God. I'm going to hug your face off now. That's fantastic.
He doesn't normally say those things either. So that's high praise, Jessica Banner.
Stop making me sound like I am Bethany. God. But go ahead and tell us also, you guys have social media that everybody can follow. Where do we follow you guys at?
Honestly, the easiest way is just remember hashtag cult.org. You'll get everything from there. It's one simple place to go. Everything's on there. You can find it. You can search hashtag cult on anything, like as a word, and we'll usually find it. You can search my name, Mike Fallick, but really the website is the easiest sort of one stop. I know you, everyone wants to, you don't want to open your internet browser. You've got an app for everything, I'm sure. You can find, I mean, through body, go to Body Count Pod, you'll find us there probably.
Mm-hmm.
You guys about every episode and pitching you on doing a Gilles de Rais episode, please.
Oh, well, hello, sir. I'm telling you, get the hell out of my emails. Get out. No, seriously. Also, get out of my Dropbox, too, there, clearly. No, that's absolutely fascinating. Mike, I am so glad you joined us. I was really, really excited about it.
You should have heard her trying to prep me for you and about what we were getting into. And quite frankly, I still didn't really understand. I just knew that there was something big that we were talking about, and I was like, cool, I'll just show up.
and you did.
She did, right? She definitely did.
Sure, you're smart. Smarter than yes. me. I'm clearly the dumb one here. It's okay. You're just you're dumb and humble. You're just being, we're all dumb.
We're all dumb.
Love me, yeah. We're all dumb. You're also being humble, which I'm not being. You know,
last week I talked about people making human beef jerky in a Donner Party at Sea-esque adventure from 1827. So I am not smart, sir. Like, obviously, I have a degree in ass clownery. But I'm glad that this week we came together to talk about putting a little more love in the world, doing some good, talking about, you know, mental health, talking about a lot of things that are important, especially as 2020 is a real bitch, y'all. I don't have to tell you. So I was really glad. I'm very excited that you were on. I'm super excited about going crazy to promote this episode. I'm super excited about actually doing your experiment with Bethany's awesome social media skills, because God knows I still call it the World Wide Web. So this was also a really interesting foyer for me outside of an academic paper or looking at something in an academic sense. It's been an eye-opener. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Follow us at bodycounthistorypod.com. You can find us at bodycountpod on Twitter and Instagram. We don't do Facebook. Bethany's working on it. Bethany, where do people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at BethanyRN24 and on Twitter at BethanySkelton5. That's number 5. I have Facebook and Snapchat, but it's boring. So.
Again, guys, you can follow me.
To a point, Bethany.
Right. And then it becomes self-deprecating. Ow. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jessica B as in Bravo Manor, spelled like the house and not the behavior. Jessica B Manor on Twitter and Instagram. And that is going to do it for us this week, guys. This is something that I think is very important. I think that is super, super interesting. We might make it two parts, Mike. I don't know. So you guys may be on for 2 weeks in a row. It's that important to me. But we will see you guys all next week. See you. I forget what medium this is. You will hear the melodious sounds of our voice next week. Again, Mike, thank you. And we will be out like trout, I guess, for lack of a better term. Bye-bye.